Good morning. Welcome. For those of you in the room, this is Potluck Sunday. Everybody's excited, ready to go. And so you're like, come on, quick. Okay. For all of you online, you can't even smell it. You don't know what's going on. But we are so glad you're joining us as we are in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. We've encouraged you to read through the whole thing so you know everything that Jesus is talking about. And we're just taking a chapter each fall. And so this fall, we are in chapter 6, and we've been looking at all sorts of different things. And last week was all about this idea of good eye, bad eye, or we're supposed to put on the kingdom lenses and see provision, redemption, and sovereignty. That was what last week was all about, seeing things the way Jesus asks us to see them, which is so different than the world. And if you thought last week was different than the culture we live in and the world around us, well, that's what this week is. And it's really one verse that we're going to focus on this morning before we get into the section next week. This is really a standalone, and it's a huge concept in its of itself. And that's Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Can't do it. And I know we like to think at times we can, but you can't do it. No man, nobody can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Or in parentheses, I put the word that appears in some of your Bibles, some of your translations. It's the word mammon. Now, I think that's a clue to what's going on in this passage, and I'll explain that in a moment. But the question is, what is the conversation Jesus is wanting to have with us about the kingdom? What is the kingdom like? How does the kingdom do things? What is it like in the kingdom that's different from the culture in which we live? That we live in a different kingdom, a different time, a different place, a different culture, and Jesus invites us into the kingdom that's already working and building in our lives and hearts, and not yet, as we know that, until Jesus returns. So what is he wanting us to know about his kingdom in response to the kingdom that we happen to be living in at the time? They were living in a kingdom at their time. We're living in a kingdom at our time. So what is he wanting us to know? And I think the clue might be this word mammon, which, by the way, is a made-up word. Just such you're like, I don't know. I haven't used that recently. Have you? Right? Have you seen that on Facebook? Someone made a post about mammon. Okay. You probably haven't seen that. Okay. And it's because it's a word. It's what we do when we want to take a word from another language and we don't know exactly how to translate it. So we just take the word and we make it sound like English. Okay. This is a Greek word called mammonis. It's probably the best way to pronounce it. And so we took that word and said, gosh, how are we going to make it sound English? Oh, mammon. Okay. We'll just make it into sounding English sounding and call it mammon. And I think this is the clue. I think this is the clue of what the conversation Jesus is wanting to have with us, because he could say different things. He could say, you're serving my kingdom, not the kingdom of darkness, not the kingdom of the prince of this world. He could say all sorts of things, but he decides to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. Why does he do that? Why does he do what conversation? So mammon, literally, I'm going to kind of put it in the best definition I can come up with, is the treasure a person trusts in. The treasure. And by the meaning of that, I'm talking about money, possessions, and wealth. That you could take those three categories, and mammon covers all of them. That's why some of your translations will be like, you can't serve God in wealth. You can't serve God in money. And they don't give the full picture. It's something a person trusts in when it comes to money, possessions, and wealth. And here's the other weird thing. Jesus is the only person that uses it. Paul, later on, when he talks about things, he doesn't bring up this word mammon. In fact, Jesus uses it twice. He uses it here and then over in Luke 16. So we're going to look at Luke 16 because it's a parable. This is one of those parables we're going to read through. We're going to read through the whole thing. I'm going to have it on the screen for you this morning because you just got to see this. Because you're going to look and go, no way, this is in the Bible. Jesus told this story. Because you're going to be surprised who gets commended at the end. You're just going to be surprised that this person is commended. So some of your Bibles will call it the parable of the dishonest manager. The parable of the dishonest manager, the parable of the manager, all sorts of different ways it talks about. But that is in Luke chapter 16, the first 11 verses, and then he goes on to teach the same thing. In fact, it's the same verse. No one can serve two masters. He will hate the one or love the other. be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But right before that, he gives this parable. So if you would lean in with me as Jesus is going to tell this story, possibly to help us understand what he means by this idea of serving God and what is this thing called mammon. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who was informed of accusations that his manager was wasting his assets. I don't know, somebody told on him. Somebody said, hey, do you know what your manager's doing? Okay, do you know what this guy over here is doing? So he gets word somehow that his manager is wasting the things he put him in charge of. He put him in charge of all his assets. He put him in charge of all the things he had, and he was wasting those. So he called the manager in and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your administration because you can no longer be my manager. Got to give an account. This is what accountability looks like in one form of it. He's like, turn in the books. I got to see this. I got to see this for myself because you can't be my manager anymore if this is true, what's going on, that you are wasting things. You are not stewarding things like I asked you to. And so then the manager said to himself, what should I do? Since my master is taking away my position from me, right? What am I going to do? And now, what he's going to say are the two most common things of his day being what he is, okay, and how he loses his position. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. He's got two options, okay, and he didn't like either of them. Well, I could go out and be on this dig thing, but no, I don't want to do that. I'm not strong enough for that, and I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to sit by the city gate and beg and hope I get enough money to provide everything because of what he had done. He's like, what am I going to do now? So he comes up with a plan. I know what to do so that when I'm put out of management, people will welcome me into their homes. I'm going to do something that's going to foster some goodwill so that people will help me out when I lose my job. Now, and here's what he's about to do, okay? So he contacted his master's debtors because that's part of what he's in charge of. He's in charge of writing up the bills. You owe this. And so here he goes. He gets a hold of one of his master's debtors. He asks first, how much do you owe my master? The man replied, 100 measures of olive oil. The manager said, take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Like, ooh, man, what's he doing? This is a story of Jesus. And wait till you see the ending, okay? So just so you know, take your bill, cross it out. We don't have 100 measures, we have 50. Now, whatever that could be, whatever measurement that could be, he is trying to, again, do what? I got to foster goodwill because I'm going to be at a job and I don't want to dig holes and I don't want to dig things and I don't want to beg, so I got to do something here. So there's the first person. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And the second man replies, 100 measures of wheat. And so the manager said to him, take your bill and write 80. Okay, he does this two different times. The master, this is right, here's your twist. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly, cleverly, wisely. He thought, I gotta fix this somehow. I gotta foster some goodwill. He gets commended because he acted shrewdly, because he changed. Isn't that odd to you? I don't know about you, but I'm reading this and going, this is a little odd. This is a little odd story. Why in the world would the guy commend him? But the guy go, you're ripping me off. Get out of here, okay? I need back. But he commends him because of why? Because he's acting shrewdly. Now watch what Jesus says next, okay? For the people of this world are more shrewd, clever, wise in dealing with their contemporaries, their own generation, the people around them, than the people of light. They do a better job than the people of light. With what? Okay, follow along. Here we go. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by how you use worldly wealth. That word right there, that's the word mammon. Again, okay? I tell you, make friends by yourself by how you use worldly wealth. Anybody go, this is really weird. Jesus actually said this? Yes. Okay, why? You're going to see. So that when it runs out, remember the other guy's looking for homes for people to welcome him. You'll be welcoming eternal homes. Is Jesus saying we can pay our way to heaven? No, he's not. Don't go there. Okay? He's trying to make parallels of what we should do with what we have. The one, and then he says this, the one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And the one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest and much. If you're dishonest in the little stuff, it doesn't get better. Oh, I'll be honest when I get a real job, when I get another job. No, you won't. No, you won't. Yeah, but I start off really small and I'm just dishonest. Yeah, you're always going to be dishonest. If then you haven't been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, there's that mammon again, who will entrust you with true riches? Right? Isn't that a crazy story? It's just one of those, you're like, what in the world's going on there? But there that word is again. There that word is again, mammon. So I think there's something that Jesus wants to get a hold of. And could it be he wants us to understand money, possessions, and wealth being kingdom people? Because who gets you know, celebrated? He says, we're not doing this well. He goes, you know, the people in this world do this better than we do? And you're like, really? Yeah. They do this better than we do. They get some things maybe better than we do, okay? So I think Jesus wants to teach us something about how you and I should think about money, possessions, and wealth, how we should think about it in light of everything he's just said with this thing called mammon, how you and I need to think about what this looks like in the kingdom. So we actually act like kingdom people. We actually do what Jesus wants us to do with the things that we have. Instead of acting like everybody else and doing anything else, he says, I want you to act wisely with what you have. So what does that look like? What does that look like? So I got four things for us to consider today. Because I'm looking at this going, how do we take this and think about what Jesus is going to say about money, possessions, and wealth? You've got to take all three. Put it together. Again, that's the picture of this thing called mammon that people are trusting in other than God. And some of us may be trusting in more than God. And he goes, you know, you can't serve two masters. Don't come here, Jesus says, thinking you're worshiping me. And oh, I'm all about you, Jesus. And your money, possessions, and wealth tell a very, very different story about whose kingdom you're really in, who you really are serving, who really is your king. It tells a very different story. So what can we learn? Number one, money, possessions, and wealth. They are tools and not treasure. Remember, we just had that. Pastor Ryan walked us through that. Don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust come in, right? Thieves break in and steal. Lay up treasures in heaven, okay? They are tools. They are not things to treasure. They're tools. They're tools that God can use in great and awesome ways. They're tools that you can use to help have conversations, to help people and have a conversation with them about Christ. There's so many different things. We operate because people give and people are faithful to give. And then we have to steward that money, right? We have to steward that money, do the best we can with what we have, and we try to be wise in the way we use it. Why? Because it's a tool. It's not something to treasure, okay? We don't get up here and sing to our budget every year. Oh, wonderful budget you are, okay? We don't do that. Why don't we do that? Because it's not our treasure. It's not our treasure. It's just a tool. It's a tool that God's given to us to use for our good, his glory, and to see what he might do with what we have. It's a tool. It's not something to give your life to. It's not something to worship. It's not something to serve. It's not something to run after. And that happens all the time. Solomon told us a great example of this in the book Ecclesiastes. And he said, I was richer than anybody. Okay? Get out your Forbes list. I beat them all. Okay? I was the top of the list. And he said, the only thing I found was I needed more. I needed more. It didn't matter when I hit a million, I needed more. It didn't happen when I hit a billion, I needed more. He just needed more. And that's all he found from it. He just had to have more because they're not treasure, they're tools. They're tools that God invites us to use what we have to see what difference it would make in this world, to bring kingdom into the kingdom, to help people understand who Jesus is. So that's the first thing I want you to think about today. That money, possessions, wealth, the things that we have, do not treasure them. Do not serve them because they make terrible, terrible gods. They are not. Don't do that. They are not treasure. They are tools. Number two, they are to be used with eternity in mind. They're to be used with eternity in mind. This is, I'm going to tell you why this is so hard. Because you and I live in a culture that wants everything now. Isn't it true? We want everything now. And it's amazing. Okay? You could just be sitting there one day. You could look at your couch and say, I need a new couch. And you could do that all online. You just flip out your phone. Done. Okay? And it's just, that's how easy it is to go from, I think I want something, to getting it. And all we keep doing, and every business wants to do this, you know why? Because they're going to make more money. Everybody tells you our economy is a consumer economy. It's all about consumerism. We need people to consume, because that's how it survives, and that's how it grows, and that's how it gets bigger. It is not an economy built on anything else other than consumerism. And so with that in mind, what do you think everybody's going to tell you? Buy more. So this is really hard. This is really hard because all around us, everybody has told us to think temporary, to think instant gratification, to think how quickly can I get the thing that I want. And so we go out and I got to grab that. When is the last time we thought about that with eternity in mind? See, all of a sudden when the master comes home and the guy's like, give an account, he's like, oh no. Well, what happened? All the time in the world he thought he had to do whatever he wanted to do, it was all gone in that moment. And he never thought about those moments. He never thought about things with eternity in mind. He only thought about things temporary, instantly, now. So what if I'm taking more from my master than I'm supposed to? What if my cut's a little bigger? It doesn't matter. What mattered the day the master showed up, didn't it? It mattered that day because he was going to lose everything, and now he's like, oh, right? Maybe I should have thought with different things in mind. That's how you and I are supposed to think. As people of the kingdom with eternity in mind, what makes the difference in eternity? What makes the difference in the long term? It isn't going to be the stuff that you have for 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, and breaks, and you got to replay. It isn't that stuff, is it? It isn't that stuff. They could be tools, but too often we think very, very temporary. We're all there. We all think that way. Temporary, instant. How do I get it now? How do I act upon it now? And I'm telling you, if you expect our culture to do anything else, no. Because our entire economy is based on you and me buying over and over and over and over again. And they will appeal to us and make it as easy as possible and simple as possible. And just as easy, so we would do it over and over and over again and consume and consume and consume. That's because we just think it's all about our own consumption. But you know what else we find from this? They are for us to manage. Money, wealth, and possessions. They are for us to manage because God is the owner and there is accountability. See, that was clear. He thought, I got all the time in the world, except it wasn't his, was it? It wasn't his. It didn't belong to the manager. And the manager at some point just thought it was his. I can do whatever I want with it. I can gain more. I can have more. And all of a sudden he realized, oh, it's not mine. Because master's coming home and he needs an account of what I did with what I have. So do we think about that? That God is the owner of everything? It's really hard, isn't it? Why? Well, the deed to your house has your name on it. The title to your car has your name on it, right? Has my name on it. The paychecks all have our name on it, right? And we have probably enough of those conversations in our homes. They have our name on it. So we look and think, I'm the owner. Except God says, no, I want you to think about this differently. You're not the owner. You're the manager. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. Every good and perfect gift is from above. It's all trying to get us to think differently about what I have. That I'm just a manager. And that there is someday accountability. Now, accountability for the most part. Sometimes we have a very negative view of accountability. Well, accountability, I have an accountability person. They're just supposed to sit there and wait for me to mess up, right? They're just waiting for me to fall. And they're sitting there going, ooh, is it today? I get together with them and they're going to mess up. And No. That's not accountability. That's one part of accountability. That you want people in your life to say, hey, Ed, everything okay? Okay, you seem a little angry today, okay? Right? You're slamming all the doors. What's going on, right? It's that. And it's also, hey, Ed, how's it going with? Because you're also accountable for your gifts. It's bigger than I'm just accountable to, we're just accountable to make sure I don't sin, I don't fall away. It's, I'm also accountable for what God's given to me, for my gifts, my talents, and abilities. And I'm telling you, it's much better to find people here who will help you and challenge you with how you're doing with what you have, rather than one day, as the dishonest manager finds out, uh-oh, I have to give an account. I'm not ready for this. Because I've lived my whole life like it's all mine, and it's all mine to consume. It's all mine to do whatever I want with. And I didn't think about Jesus much, and I didn't think about eternity much, and now I have to give an account. Oops. What am I going to do with that? What am I going to do? We forget. We get to stand before Jesus. Not so he can go, oh, let's talk about your sins. No. We ask Jesus. We repent. Sins are forgiven. It's not why we stand before Jesus. He wants us to give an account of what we did with what he gave us. What we did with our lives, what we did with our families, what we did with the things that we have, our money, possessions, and wealth. We are simply managers, not owners. And there is accountability someday. Here's the last one. Here's probably one of the hardest ones to talk about. But it's the last one so that we'll hit the hardest one last. They should be relationship builders, not relationship wreckers. If we could sit down and have coffee, you probably have a story. I have stories where money has ruined things. Money, possession, and wealth has ruined things. Do you know it's the reason 40% of people get divorced? Has to do with something with money. That friendships fall apart because of money. Sometimes it's you borrowed money and you never paid it back. Sometimes it's I wanted you to borrow me money and you wouldn't. And there's all these tensions around money. And there's a lot of friendships that end over money. And notice the manager's concept. Oh, if I do this, they could actually build relationships. I'm not talking about buying friends, so don't go there. I'm talking about actually doing the things that we say that we're going to do. Why are they things that are wrecking relationships instead of building relationships? Because that's what it looks like in the kingdom. Except we all have stories. We have stories, don't we? We have stories of people where you know, we hope we never run into again because they took this from us and we were supposed to and they were supposed to do this, where money has come in and it's ruined things. It has ruined relationships. And let me tell you, the worst place where this happens is among Christ followers. Yeah, I understand. You're going to run into people who are going to just be dishonest. And they're just going to try to get whatever they can get out of you, and they have no intention of giving anything back. They really have no intention. They might, at the first point, say, oh, no, I'd really pay you back. They really don't, okay? So move that aside. We can all talk about those stories. I'm talking about when it happens in the household of faith. Our word should be good enough that when those situations arise, we ought to sit there and work it out as brothers and sisters. Because there should be things that build relationships, not wreck relationships. But I wonder how many of your stories include those people. Those people who say they follow Jesus. Those people who are in church this morning somewhere else, and yet have not honored what you guys agreed to, haven't honored those things, haven't honored those agreements, and there's now this tension, isn't it? Because a relationship got wrecked when it should have been built. And I get it. This stuff's hard. This stuff's hard. It's difficult. And it is. It's hard and difficult to have these situations. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants them. They're a bunch of stress, right? Like, oh, you know, it's just, oh. Sometimes it's especially when it comes to family. I tell Jill all the time, we should never use the word loan. Never. Okay, that's bad. I'm serious. It's just bad. It's going to be bad. No, we'll give you a gift. If you want to gift it back to us someday, but you know how we just thought of that? A gift. A gift. Why? Well, it was family. It was difference. We had to think about it differently, or we would tend to be in the same place of letting things get wrecked over money. And it never should be that way. It's sad when it is. It happens. Those are moments where God, I think, gives us opportunities to build his kingdom back and to restore things that have happened. So, here's how we're in this morning. In the kingdom, we serve King Jesus, no one and nothing else. Now, right, this is a great amen line. The problem is, sometimes we have to have Jesus look in our hearts, because most of the time, like, of course it's King Jesus all the way. Is it really? Is the question. And that's a hard one. And I can't answer that. This is where we get in all sorts of problems. Oh, I think it's so-and-so. I think so-and-so has a problem. Nope. You know where I get to look? Here. I get to look here. I get to read Scripture, help us understand what it means, but I get to look here. I don't get to look anywhere else, okay, until someone comes and says, help me, pray with me, encourage me. How do I get back? Then I get to help. It's the same thing with you. We don't get to talk about anybody else. We get to focus right here. And we're going to do that for a moment as we pray together. We're just going to ask Jesus to help us to understand. Is he the king we really serve? Or have money, possessions, and wealth snuck in and just taken over? And they're the things that we serve. Because when it comes to things where we ought to love and do what Jesus says, we balk and go, oh, I don't think I can do that. Why is that? Is it because we have another master? And that other master is saying, no, serve me. Serve me. Do this. Is that why? Is that why? We have problems doing what Jesus says because something else is our master. So if you'd bow your heads for a moment, would you just pray a very difficult prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to know who is the king of your life? Because it is King Jesus, or it is something else. Now, ultimately, Paul tells us that we've been transferred when we've come to know Christ as Savior, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But then, man, there are times we just serve that other kingdom, and it just tends to be with this whole thing of money, possessions, and wealth. So would you ask the Holy Spirit to help you to know who is the king of your life? Jesus, we need your help. Because we say that you are king, and we declare that. Would you help us know if it's really true? Because Jesus, this category of mammon has just overtaken many of us. And it has snuck in, and it crept in. And it competes for the affection and attention we should be giving you. So I ask you today to help us to know who is the king of our lives. Jesus, you know we touched on some really hard personal things this morning. Yet there's always forgiveness in you. And the greatest stories of the kingdom are ones of reconciliation, of redemption. They're great and awesome kingdom stories. So I pray that you would do that this morning. That No matter what has happened or what has taken place, there is redemption, there is reconciliation. You put back what is broken. So we ask you to do that in all these cases, whether it be who we're serving or that money has crept in and broken relationships in our lives. May we pursue you and find that your way is the best way. One day we will stand and we will give an account. May we be mindful of that now and work with that in mind, that you would get all the honor and the glory and the praise, Jesus. And we pray all this in your incredible holy name. Amen. We're going to encourage you to stand. This morning you can pray with our prayer team. They will be up here on the side. We'd encourage you to do that. Pray about anything. You can do that after the service as well. But stand as we sing this morning. Living Hope.